Tonight, if you have your Bibles, let's go to our study and look at the book of James. And I was just tripping out on the book of James because the lesson for tonight, we're actually in verse 12 of James chapter 1, if you have your Bibles. Let me just kind of go over and read up to verse 12 as James is moving us through this great book of James. He says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it with all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this, that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally as without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass and its flowers fall and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Now we pick it up in verse 12. And here he says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. You know, it's amazing that as we read in chapter 1, verse 2, he said, my brethren, count it or consider it all joy when you fall into various trials or temptations. Temptation is something that I think we all have to face in our own personal lives. We are tested by God. I think the greatest example that I can see, and as I thought of the young man in the Old Testament by the name of Job. We just went through that book. And it was pretty amazing that Job was a righteous man, one that loved God. And every day he got up, every day in the morning, and prayed for his family. Prayed for his family, for his sons and for his daughters. Just in case they would sin against God. And the Bible tells us that Satan came along and went into the presence of the Lord. And the Lord asked him and said, hey, Satan, where you been? He says, well, I've been cruising up and down the earth. He says, have you ever considered my servant Job? The word to consider in the Hebrew is a very interesting word. It's a military term that is used in combat, where a general strategizes on top of a hill looking down on its enemy and strategizes how you're going to get to defeat your enemy. That's the word that is used there. Have you ever strategized against my servant Job? And Satan responded and said, you know, how can I ever do that when you're always protecting him? I thank the Lord for his protection for each one of us here today. Knowing and recognizing that Satan cannot touch me unless God allows it to happen. Unless God allows it to happen. And if God chooses to do that, God will bring us through as by fire, as gold, the Bible says. And the reason is because Satan has to get permission in order to mess with any one of us. If you know the story, remember that Job, after he said, have you ever considered my servant Job? That after that, you know, God says, go ahead and do whatever you want except you can touch Job. And immediately Satan left his presence. And what's the first thing that he did? As we read in Job chapter 1, he went ahead and he got rid of all of Job's cattle. He took everything from him. And then he dealt with his children. Remember, the house collapsed and they killed his sons and his daughters. He got bad news every 5 minutes he was getting bad news. And the last thing that he heard is whether his children were taken from him. And what did Job do? Job stood up and he walked over and he says that he went down and he just stood before the Lord and he said, "Naked I came into this world and naked I leave this world. The Lord gave, blessed be the name of the Lord, because the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jehovah God." I don't think that anybody could ever say that unless you understand that God is in control of your life. I really believe that now more than ever before. Sometimes we do not understand why we face these trials of life. And yet we understand that God will never try us far and beyond what we're not capable of handling. But He's always there for each one of us individually as we're going into the fire. Like in the book of Daniel chapter 4, where the three Hebrews were thrown into the fire and a fourth was in the fire and it was Jesus Christ protecting them. And when the king Nebuchadnezzar saw that, he called them out of the fire and they testified. He says, "I thought we threw three people into the fire. Why do I see four? One like the Son of God." And when they came out of the fire, they didn't even smell like the fire. They were not even burned. Because as we step into that fire, the Lord will be with us in the fire. And it cannot touch us. Because of His love, because of His grace, because of His mercies that He has for each one of us individually. And as I went back today to study in this past week, and I read the words of James, oh, how happy. The word blessed is the word happy. It takes us back to the Sermon on the Mount where the Beatitudes, Jesus spoke the Beatitudes, the how to have an attitude as a child of God. That, oh, how happy is that man, notice, not who's defeated, but endures. Endures. Endures what? Endures temptation. When we're being tried by the fire. Tried by the fire. And I don't think that anybody can ever be tried so much as to lose someone you love. Someone you really love. And I think of the story of Abraham and Isaac. When Abraham was called by God to take his son and to sacrifice him. To take him to Mount Moriah, a 3-day journey. And to take him up and to commit him to the Lord. And I thought, can you imagine how Abraham must have been feeling in a 3-day journey? As they got to that place, his servants were with him. And his son Isaac picked up the wood and put it on his shoulder. He got the knife. And they went up to Mount Moriah. He told his servants, "You guys wait here and we'll be back. But me and my son are going up there." And as they went up into that big mountain there, all of a sudden his son said, "Dad, here's the altar. Here's the knife. Here's the wood. But where's the sacrifice?" And God stepped in and God began to speak. Because he, in his heart, were in that place where he was giving himself fully, completely, and totally to the Lord. And then Abraham said in chapter 22, verse 8, God will provide himself a sacrifice. 1900 years later, 2000 years later, Jesus Christ died on that corner of that cross where Abraham and Isaac were. And I think of all of the temptations that every one of us have gone through or are going through today. As the devil comes along and he begins to try your faith, he puts evil thoughts in your minds and brings evil temptations against you. And many times we can sit there and say, I don't know if I can handle this, or we give in to it. But here in the actual, you know, Word of God, he says, oh, how happy is that man who endures temptation. Notice, for when he has been proved or approved or tried, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Why do I overcome? Because I love him so much. He's not going to do me wrong. He's always going to be there for me. It doesn't matter who you are here tonight. Doesn't really matter who you are tonight. It is amazing how the Lord takes care of us. I was looking up this word temptation with Oswald Chambers, and he says this: temptation is not something we may escape. It is an essential to be full ordered like the Son of God wants it to be. God allows it in our lives so that we can grow, we can mature, we can stand by faith in Jesus Christ. And we can come to that place in our life that we're looking in eternity. That if I'm able to obey God's word and do exactly what he says when I am being tempted in that old man, in my old life, to go back and to be the way I used to be when I have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, how can I ever do that when I look at heaven and what heaven has to offer me today? I can't do it. It doesn't mean I'm perfect or you're perfect. We all sin. We all trip. We all fall short of the glory of God. And yet we know that God is on the throne and that God will do a tremendous work in our lives. When you look up the word tempt in the Webster Dictionary, it's interesting. It says an attack or a trial, a tempting or being tempted, something that tempts or entices you. Or the word tempt means to test, to try to persuade, entice or entice, especially to something immoral or even sexually immorally. When Satan comes to young people or he comes to married people, he always has a program in his mind to try to deceive each one of us individually. Why? He wants to break up the marriage. He wants to mark the young people so they don't have freedom in Christ Jesus, so God can use them as instruments of righteousness. Lying, cheating, robbing, stealing, being angry. All these sins that Paul the Apostle talks about in the book of Corinthians, in Galatians, Ephesians, that are the works of the flesh that will slow you down, that will set you back as a child of God if you're not careful to come to the cross and crucify the old man to be dead. That's really important. Within each one of our lives, we need to do that. And whenever we're facing temptation, just like when Jesus was with his own disciples and he was facing temptation, what did he say? Let's pray. The only way to really escape is through prayer. As we give ourselves to prayer and we pray for God to deliver us and to be with us as we're going through these things in our own personal lives. It's interesting that we must find the way out and then compare it to Job 5:17, where he says, behold, happy is the man whom the Lord correcteth. That sometimes as we're being tested, it may be a time of correction too. Chastening from the Lord. Because we are sons and we are daughters of God. Remember what he says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. That sometimes God takes the time to correct his children because he loves them so much that he wants to do something for them so that they can be used in a greater, greater way. But God will never, ever leave you nor forsake you. I love that. That he will never leave me nor forsake me in any way. And so here James, you know, writing this great epistle, he's actually here driving men to Jesus Christ. Whenever we have a real situation, a real problem, who do we look to? To Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And the reason is because surely we want to receive the crown of life, the crown of life that is going to be given to us. Because we have been approved, then we will receive this crown of life which the Lord has promised to those, listen, who love him. And love brings me to obedience in Christ Jesus. When you really love someone, you want to please them, not displease them. Very important what God says in his word. I think it's really important that we learn the lessons in the book of James. God has so much for each one of us individually that as we come to the Lord and we begin to see that we can be happy as we're being tried, as we are being tested, that we are going to endure the testing of the Lord. And when it has been approved or tested, then we can stand by and we can see the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. And when I think of that crown of life that the Lord is going to give to those that overcome, it's really the victor's crown. The crown of victory. Even as in the old Greek, you know, competition times, when someone was in the Olympics and they would win first prize, they would receive a crown, a laurel over their heads. Read as a winner. And when I think we as believers, that there are actually four crowns that are going to be given out. The crown that God mentions here is the incorruptible crown in 1 Corinthians 9:25 for suffering. And then in 2 Timothy 4:8, the crown of righteousness, which is those that overcome temptation. And thirdly, the crown of life, which speak again, you know, in the book of James, here again of that temptation that comes to our lives, that God will be with us. And then finally, he says, the crown of glory given to every pastor, shepherd, that takes care of the flock of God. It's so exciting to be able to know that God is on the throne and that he's watching over each one of us individually, and yet we are a blessed people before the Lord for what he's doing. And yet, check this out. Verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. How many people have you heard in bitterness say, God is tempting me? No, God cannot tempt you or me. Ever. Ever. We cannot ever be tempted. There are three things that a child of God should know. We call them the three R's. If you want to write these down, three R's. Number one, recognize who your enemy is. Recognize who your enemy is. Number two, resist your enemy. Resist your enemy. And number three, rejoice in the victory that Jesus Christ gives to you. Because we are children of the light, not of the darkness. Not of the darkness. There was something that happened a couple of weeks ago. We were in a restaurant with my granddaughters. And someone dropped a bunch of money on the ground. And I saw it. And my little granddaughter, Skylar, she's 5 years old. And I said, Skylar, look at that money up there. So she saw it. She went and picked it up, you know. And we took it back to the counter, and I had her at 5 years old to teach her about honesty, to turn it back to the register. We could have kept it, but we didn't. And she gave it back to the people. She said, we found this on the floor. Somebody dropped it. Why? Because I want her to understand honesty. and we don't take from people. We give back, which is not ours. And yes, we are tempted. I was tempted to keep it. I thought, oh man, you know what? That's a lot of money there. Because that happens. Who's going to know? You know? But my granddaughter was watching too. And so it's really important that we teach those basic lessons, not just by words, but that we act upon them. Because he says here, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. God, you made me do it. No. Or we can blame it on the devil. The devil made me do it. Oh, no. No, don't do that. Don't do that. It doesn't work that way. I want to ask you a question tonight. How are you going to respond when you are tempted? In the flesh or in the Spirit of God? In the Spirit of God. Yes, that's the way to do it. Because we are going to be tempted in many, many ways. We're going to be tempted to lie, to steal. We're going to be tempted at work to put a time that we were not there to get more money. We're going to cheat in our coffee breaks. We're going to do a lot of things that are not right. If we don't have conviction, if we're not righteous before God, then we will become wicked people. Instead of being a light in a dark place, we will become just like the darkness. Can you imagine in the book of Matthew chapter 4 when Jesus was being tested by Satan? Imagine that. Because look what he says here. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil. Why? Because God is light. Nor does he himself tempt anyone. God does not tempt you. And I want you to write this down. God does not tempt you or me to ever, ever tempt us to do evil. Ever. He'll never do that. It's the devil. The devil. The devil always comes to try to get us to do something wicked. Like our first parents in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. If you only eat of that tree, your eyes will be open and you will be like God. You'll be gods. And what did she do? She tempted herself. She went and picked it up and she gave it to her husband and both of their eyes were open and they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. It's pretty heavy how Satan works in our lives. And yet God allows these things to happen to see if we're standing on the rock. On the rock. When Satan came to Jesus, remember, he came and said, since you are, not if, since you are the Son of God, you can turn those stones into bread. You're hungry, you haven't eaten for 40 days, go ahead and turn them into pita bread. You can eat. But what did Jesus do? He came back with the word of God and said, no way. It is written in the book of Deuteronomy, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. We can't tempt God. In that way, we cannot do that. And then he came first physically, now he comes emotionally. And then he came the third time spiritually. Why don't you go ahead and jump and the angels will catch you or you can fly since you're God. Satan knew that. Satan knew it. And yet Jesus never one time gave in to temptation. Can you imagine what it must have been like when he was there in the Garden of Gethsemane and Satan came to him when he had to give up his will for the will of the Father to go to the cross? I could just see saying, Jesus, you don't have to do it. Don't do it. You don't have to do it. But what did he say? Not my will, but thy will be done. I think that's the bottom line. Whose will do you want in your life? Your will or God's will? And if it's God's will, it has to be obedience. Obedience to the kingdom of God. Because there are so many temptations in this world that is incredible, tempting us. We will be tempted physically, emotionally, and spiritually in every way that you can. And yet, if God is in control and God is behind what I'm facing and going through tonight, we know that God is good. And that God is sustaining me. And that God's going to give me the victory, and all the glory and the honor goes to who? To Jesus Christ. For he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Why? Because Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He accuses me and you day and night. And what does he want to do? He wants to confuse us. He wants us to have no faith. He wants us to become bitter. And he wants us to be just like them and say, I am tempted by God. God, you're the one tempting me and I hate you. No, we're not going to do that. We know who's on the throne. And we know who God is. Satan always tempts us to evil or with evil. And yet God allows him to do it. Why? So that we can pass the test. And if you don't pass the test, you got to retake the test. Why? Because he wants to make you stronger. He wants to use your life. He's molding you and he's shaping you into his image. I love that. I love the way God works within each one of our lives. Because the Word of God is not only powerful in our lives, but at the same time, the Word of God is used by the great tempter. Don't forget that he uses God's word, and he does what? He twists the word of God. He doesn't give you the truth about God. He always twists the word of God. He does that all the time. He did it with Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. He took away from the scripture, and then he adds to the scripture. And so if tonight you find yourself in a place of temptation, you're at work and you're being tempted by some woman or some guy at work, or maybe drugs, alcohol, sexual adventures, money, power, whatever it may be. Or maybe you've gone through a tragedy tonight. A tragedy. What's the first thing Satan wants you to do? To curse God. Just like Job, when God allowed Satan to take his family from him, even his wife, when he was attacked by Satan, she said, Job, why don't you curse God? And he said, there's no possible I can do that. No way. If God is in control, then who can be against me? No way. I'd rather put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Who else can I go to? Who else can we go to? If God is for me, then who can be against me? Nobody. Don't let no one say when he or she is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Why? Because God is light, and evil is darkness. And we are children of what? The light, not of darkness. And that's why we're here tonight. And then check this out, verse 14. But each one is tempted when he or she are drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Isn't that interesting? You can't blame it on God. I can't blame it on God. When I sin against God and I allow myself to go ahead and sin against God, he said, I am allowing myself to do that. I am being drawn away by my own desires, my own feelings. Why? Because God always has a way of escape, always, that we can run out. We cannot ever say, I was tempted by the Lord. Nope, he doesn't tempt you to evil. He tests you. He tests you, but he doesn't tempt you to do evil, because he is not evil, he is good. He is light, not darkness. Satan is the one that comes along to tempt us. And he wants to destroy our lives. And yet here, James opens the door. But each one is tempted. Notice that. It is what? It is my desire that I would lead me into temptation. If you find it in your own life, that you're being tempted, you have to ask the question, is God allowing this to happen in my life? Am I going to obey or am I going to disobey? You have that will to choose. You see? To choose. To make the choice. Yes or no? And I would say no. Because if you pass the test, think of what God has for your life. As you pass that test that God is allowing in your own personal life to happen. Because he loves you so much that he's allowing you to go through these things so that you can help other people in your family or friends to make them stronger as they see you going through these things, and yet they see the joy of the Lord in your life. Because you don't lose that joy. You gain that joy in the Lord because of the love and grace and mercy that he has for each one of us individually. I love it. The way God works in our lives and what he wants to continue to do in each one of our lives. Check this out. Verse 15. He says, then when desire has conceived, notice when the desire comes, that's the evil desire. When it is conceived, it gives birth to sin. You see, if you don't watch yourself, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full blown or grown, you notice it brings forth what? Not life, death. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. When sin is born, death is involved, just like in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Because it feeds upon the flesh. It doesn't feed upon the spirit. So we need to be ready when the Lord allows things to happen in my life. Why? Because when he speaks of here of death, he's speaking of spiritual death. And eventually, physical death too, when it comes. That's why we have to make a stand and be strong in what? And put our trust and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's the only one that can help us. And how do we do that? We need to walk by the Holy Spirit. And we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to do that. Because if we don't do that, then we are walking in the flesh. We have no discernment. We're just walking and operating in our own flesh. When he says the desire here is in desiring of the lust of the flesh. The desires of the flesh, not of the spirit. So James says, then when desire or your lusting has conceived you, it gives birth to your sin. And sin, when it is full grown, it brings forth death. Physical and spiritual death. You can't get away from that. Physical and spiritual death will be there. Why? Because God doesn't tempt us to sin. It's our own desires. What are you hearing? What are you watching? What are you reading? Whatever you read, whatever you hear, whatever you watch, you put that into your mind, into your heart, that's what you're going to become, what you're doing in your own personal life. That's why we give ourselves to the Word, to prayer, to fasting, and to seeking the things of the Lord. Why? Because we want to be more like Jesus Christ than anybody else. We have to be in the light 24/7, not in the darkness. And if you're walking tonight in the darkness, please, I beg you, get out of the darkness. Stop. Stop what you're doing and return to the Lord. And come back to the light. The light is greater. As soon as you turn the light on, what happens to the darkness? It is gone. It is done. It is no longer there. And the Bible says that we are children of the light and not of darkness. So I would pray tonight that if anybody here tonight is going through very, very deep valley in temptation, and you're being tested, are you going to pass or are you going to fail? If you fail, I want to say it again, you have to retake the test until you pass, because God wants obedience. And that's why we have to be great examples of the faith in Jesus Christ, like James talks about here. That as we're going in this life, like the children of Israel, they were tempted for 40 years, and many, many of them didn't make it. Remember, all the old people and middle, those that were in their mid-age, they all died in the wilderness, but only those that were 20 years old and under were the only ones that were able to go all the way to the promised land. Why? Because of what God had done in them and through them. And we have to be children of the light, and we have to go through testing so that we can become better people in the kingdom of God, so that God can use our lives and we can have the boldness and the discipline and we can be holy as He is holy, so that God can use our lives to bring glory and honor to His name. Because His name is above any other name in this world. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and He is the only one that can save anybody, and He's the only one that can deliver anybody from sin. So if you're here tonight, God can do that in your lives. Father, I pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord God, in this book of great book of James, Lord, I pray, Lord, that You speak to us. Continue to teach us and lead us through this great epistle, Lord God, that has so much to offer to each one of us individually, Lord. Father, we pray for Your beautiful people, which are called by Your name. And Lord, we pray for the people here tonight, Lord, that, Lord, we don't know how long we have left on this earth. We could die tonight, tomorrow, next day, next year. But Lord, we know one thing, that we have to be ready. And Lord God, tonight You brought us here and You've taught us about temptation. And Lord, we know that the only way to overcome temptation is to be in the Word, to be in prayer, to be obedient, to reckon the old man to be dead, and to stand fast and to say no to Satan and no to the flesh. Lord, we ask You for Your power of Your Holy Spirit upon our lives, Jesus. Lord, that You would touch us deeply, Lord God, that You would have Your way in each one of our lives, Jesus. And I wonder if there's anybody here tonight that is not a Christian. Somebody brought you here. The Bible says that when we don't have Jesus Christ in our lives, we are dead and we are on our way to hell, and Satan is our father, the one we serve. But if we're willing to repent and to acknowledge that we have sinned against God, then we can ask for forgiveness and He'll forgive us. And we can confess our sins to Him, and He'll cleanse us and wash us by His blood. And He'll take my sins and cast them as far as to the east or the west, bury them in the deepest part of the ocean, and never ever again remember them ever again. And then He'll give me eternal life, and He'll write my name in the book of life and give me the guarantee that if I was to die tonight, I would go to heaven. If there's anyone here tonight. And there might be some watching through the internet. If you want to receive Jesus Christ tonight as your Lord and Savior, and you want Him to forgive you, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, to come up here to the front where I am, and stand down here, and I'm going to pray with you. As we worship, you get up and you come, young, old, I don't care who you are. You just come. Father, we are so thankful and so amazed at Your grace, Lord God, for these people, Lord. I pray for each one of them, Lord God, that You would touch them and anoint them, Lord. And those of you that have come, I want you to pray with me this prayer. Repeat after me and ask Jesus Christ to come into your hearts, okay? Pray with me this prayer out loud. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to You that I have sinned against You. I ask You to cleanse me, wash me by Your blood, and I receive You as my Lord and my Savior. Baptize me with Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give you guys some literature, a Bible. See that guy right over there? Go ahead right over there. Awesome. Right over there. Thank you so much. Awesome.